This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In the genre of true crime, it is often very easy to get swept away in big headline stories. Ones that splash across nations with the news outlets reprinting the glorified atrocities over and over again. Whenever we can, we like to try and avoid such stories and find ones that don't get the publicity they deserve. Whether it's a survivor, telling the story of a deserving victim, or bringing to light the horrific crimes of perpetrators so the world can hold them accountable. Today, we want to do just that. This is a story of two people who took their own suffering and made others suffer instead. This is Lockjaw Arts Furry Murder. My name's Ben.
I'm Nicole, and you're listening to Wicked and Grim,
a true crime podcast.
Warning, the following podcast contains graphic content and material intended for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised.
Go Canucks, go. I don't know who watched the last Canucks game, but oh my God, we came back in the last little bit.
I was literally napping on the couch because it was so boring. I was just done. I was just so done.
It was
awesome.
And
then it got real exciting real quick.
Last 3 minutes, we came back. It was phenomenal. Anyways, this isn't a sports podcast, so I don't want to ramble about the Canucks, but they're doing good. Hopefully they continue. We're in the playoffs. Go Canucks, go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a beverage. I just realized that.
No, I know. I meant to ask you if you wanted water, but
no, I'm okay.
I just got myself some and forgot.
I'm okay for now. Next week, I promise I will crack a beer open with you guys. So that'll come next week. Have a drink ready. Whether it's alcoholic or not, doesn't matter. Just have a drink ready. Mm-hmm. Whether it's chocolate milk.
Oh, man.
Whether it's tea.
Okay. Yesterday, I bought a 2 liter of chocolate milk. How long did that last in our home?
Couple hours.
Yeah.
It was delicious.
I think I had a glass.
No, you had more than that.
A glass and a half?
No, you at least had two.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
At least?
Yes.
Oh, man. Okay. I had a glass and a half.
It was two. You had two glasses. I drank the rest. I'm not ashamed of it.
And then today I was like, dang, I wish we had some chocolate milk.
And I was like, me too. But yeah, next week I'll have a beer. If you guys want to have a drink ready, feel free to join in for that one. Cause it's been a while since I had one on the show. So we'll get back to that. But I do want to make sure we reach out and thank to our patrons who signed up this past week. And our patron that we have is Rosario Torres. Thank you so much for signing up. They got that all access pass and they're going to get you putting out a Patreon episode
tomorrow.
Today, technically, when you hear it, the Tuesday.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, we'll be recording that one tomorrow. I'm putting it out.
Yeah. So, in case you don't know, Patreon, you get the exclusive episode at the end of every month. So this month they're getting the doubleheader. They're getting this episode and the one Nicole's doing. So, yeah.
Yeah. 2 in 1 day. That's pretty fun.
It is. We've been slacking a little bit on Patreon. We got a lot going on recently, but we are coming to an end on a few different side projects of ours. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're going to be hitting hard here in the next coming weeks. We got some big stuff we're going to be talking about. We're going to be keeping you guys in the loop, letting you know very soon. Patreon has already got a little bit of heads up on some things. But, yeah, we'll be making some announcements very soon.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah. Are you excited for this episode today?
I don't really know what to think of this episode from your intro. I have no idea.
Well, this one is not a very well-known one whatsoever. It was really hard to research because there's not much out there. Yeah. And we often try to avoid those great big headliner true crime stories. Mm-hmm. Like to date, we have not done Ted Bundy simply because Ted Bundy story is everywhere. Somerton Man, we haven't done that one because it's, you know, everywhere. Mm-hmm. We have done some bigger stories, but we like to try and stick to some smaller ones.
Well, yeah, often I'll like Google or just in the like search bar of Spotify.
Yeah.
The case that I'm thinking about doing. And if there's a ton of podcasts, I'll be like, oh, okay, maybe I'll try to find another one.
Yeah. So this one, there's not much out there on it.
No?
Not much at all. There's not a lot of published information online. And I mean, I like having the opportunity to cover cases like this because it's a chance to tell stories of victims who may not otherwise, mm-hmm. you know, generally have their story out loud and kind of go quiet over time.
Absolutely.
And also, like I said, to kind of call out those perpetrators as well, continuing that we hold them accountable. But however, on the flip side of this, the research is not easy. It's often, it leaves me with like not a lot to write about in the episode, if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. So the episode could be a little bit shorter depending on how I write it. So I tried to write this in a proper way to ensure that we still hear the story and we're delivering a good full length episode.
Right.
So that's what I'm trying to do here today.
Okay.
Okay. So here we go. We're starting today talking about a very niche interest, if you will. And it's in the title of this podcast episode, furry. Okay.
Okay.
Do you know what a furry is?
I have no idea.
Okay. We're about to tell you what a furry is. So we're talking about furries. And if you don't know, like Nicole doesn't know, they are individuals with a subculture interest in anthropomorphic animal characters. So they often cosplay as these animal characters from different comics or web series or even their own original characters. Now, to be honest, some of these costumes I've seen from individuals, like I've seen them in real life. I've done cosplay at conventions quite a bit myself. These furries, quote unquote, are pretty epic and seriously well built. Many of them I've seen are just insane. So good. They're so cool. So if you will, picture like a mascot-like costume.
Okay.
But the proportions of this mascot, like say like a dog, okay?
Okay.
The proportions are as accurate as they can be to the animal while still delivering a cartoonish humanoid-like feel to the character, often making them look very cute and adorable. So picture like a dog, but like talks and speaks English, has opposable thumbs, walks on two legs, and is like also cute and like cartoonish, kind of like My Little Pony almost kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
I feel like the way you're describing these that I've seen, I know what you're talking about. Like I've seen this.
You most definitely have. Yeah. I know you have because you've been to conventions with me and stuff. You most certainly have. It's a subculture that sounds like pretty tame. In all honesty, they dress up as characters. They're like cartoonish, like animals, like cool, right?
Question though, yes. They're making these costumes from scratch?
Or? Not everyone is. It's no different than any sort of costume. You can buy costumes online.
Okay.
You can make them yourself. You can get cheap Amazon knockoffs and stuff. But some of the costumes that people are making are fucking good, are fucking intense. Like any sort of costume building.
Yeah.
You go to a Comic Con, you're going to see someone who bought a crappy Halloween store costume for $20, and you're going to see someone who spent $2,000 building like freaking Iron Man's Mark IV
and from 200 hours and
yeah. So there's everywhere in between, just like this too. But some of the costumes are phenomenal. But like I said, there's the side where they dress up as these characters, the cute cartoonish animals, whatever. There's also another side to some of these furries. I'm not going to say it's all of them, but the word furry is often associated with a kink, let's call it.
Okay.
A kink where people like to wear their costumes in intimate settings, and they find the characters to be rather attractive. So they get together and do their deeds and fantasize some pretty hardcore situations with otherwise innocent looking critters. Yeah, I'm going to leave that open for the imagination there, but that's kind of the other side of what furries is generally associated with. I'm not saying that's the entirety of the community, but there is a large portion of it that is involved in that sort of stuff. Now, let me say this. Yes, furries generally get a lot of hate for all this. It's different It's not very understood by the general public, including myself. But hey, as long as you aren't hurting anyone and it's consensual with everyone involved, I mean, go hump your little furry brains out. I don't care. Go do you. Right?
Gosh. I know, because I was just kind of, what do I say to this? But I mean, because, yeah, like try not to judge sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
Each their own.
If everyone's consenting, if no one's being harmed,
yeah,
fly at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
As far as I'm concerned, I mean, you're wearing a mascot costume in the bedroom, right? But then someone else is wearing a full GIMP leather outfit in the bedroom. It's just, hey, everyone has their own kicks, yep. Right? It's whatever.
Yeah.
Fly at it.
Totally.
So this,
the logistics of that are kind of difficult to understand, but.
Well, yeah. I would imagine you'd have to stay pretty hydrated.
Yeah, that's one thing, I guess.
The heat exhaustion would be just through the roof on these. Anyways, this story begins with some people who were in the furry community. So I just needed to paint this full picture so you get the idea of what a furry is when we're dealing with this.
Yep.
And it's one of those things where it's like, if you're going to explain it, you really have to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though like a lot of this, like the sexualization of furries and stuff doesn't really come up in this. You just still need to know what a furry is, right? So anyways, the story begins with these two individuals. Their names are Tanya Dillard, who is 27, and her boyfriend, Jacob Berkowski. I almost fumbled that. Well, I did fumble it, but I almost fucked it up. I caught myself. Berkowski. There's a V in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Berkowski. So anyway, he was 24. Thank you. So the two live together in Northeast Valley of Las Vegas. They lived together in an apartment, and they were part of the furry community. So much so that they were professionally building costumes for commissions for other individuals. Now, when I say professionally, I mean that high-end market, that really well-built, like you're paying big bucks for these costumes.
Okay, good for them.
They were good at what they did. And it is a very niche market to sell these costumes, but those interests are generally very, as I said, they're niche, but those who are in it, they're in it.
And they'll pay top dollar.
Yes.
Okay.
So yeah. It's no different to say like, hey, someone who likes Star Wars, hey, they'll buy some Star Wars Lego. But someone who likes Star Wars will buy the original freaking Luke's lightsaber that was the flash from the photography thing or whatever. Oh, I just realized we never put up our logo.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, we'll play it. We won't play it today. Whatever. Sorry, that's for video. Anyways, people who are in it will pay top dollar, like you're saying. It's a very niche market to sell these costumes, but those who are interested will pay.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So they made good products and people paid good money for their products. I lost my mouse over here. We're so distracted today. I'm so sorry. Let's get back on track.
Well, the problem was that for our video podcast, we have user logo playing, but we didn't set that up. And now the screensaver changed. And that's what made us both be like, oh, shit.
Yeah. And then I lost my mouth on the other screen. So anyways, back on track here. I don't know the materials or supplies they use by any means, but looking at some of the creations they had put together online, it's very easy to see that they're very well made. A lot of skill was taken care in putting these together. And along with this, Tanya was also an incredible artist to top it all off. There was often posts on their Twitter page, or X, which is now what it's called, where she's open for commissions of drawings of like these cartoons, just like their fursuits. They're open for commissions or whatever, right? And the incredible skill level they have is through the roof. Their abilities to create, build, draw together, they had skills and clientele that they can have a very successful business for years to come. The only problem is being a business owner is not very easy.
You don't say.
Oh, I do say. Especially when you are a sole proprietor of your business. You are a small business. You're the only employee. I mean, you're your own employee, boss, marketing team, financial advisor, payroll personnel, social media marketing team, like
human resources,
health and safety, labor, all of it.
Yeah.
The stress that comes with it piles up and the list goes on. It's insane. And this is where their downfall began. Along with the stress, Jacob and Tanya were both struggling heavily with mental illness. Now, I did a deep dive on their Twitter or X page. I still call it Twitter. I don't know if people actually call it X, but whatever. I did a deep dive on their pages because they are still live, and I found some posts regarding their mental health. So here's one example from Tanya, and her account name is Black Craft Witch. So she posted on November 13th, 2019, "I've been in a damn near constant state of overwhelmed." And now from Jacob, his account, Lockjaw Arts from February 19th, 2020. "I'm just now posting, but I was in the mental hospital for a little while. Jax took care of things at home and made sure that the rent was paid for the last week. Living in this room, barely getting any sunlight, was driving me insane and killing my drive to do anything." Now, I should clarify, Jax was actually Jacob's pseudonym online.
Okay.
So that is technically a post from Tanya. But Tanya did take care of Lockjaw Art's account for a while there, Jacob's account for a while. But he had several posts very similar to this as well. So they are both struggling very heavily with mental illness. And this is coming from both accounts, both individuals.
That's really too bad. I just have to say, too, I sometimes think creative people, really creative people, sometimes struggle with mental health a bit more, or kind of can, you know, go down that deep hole a bit more.
I think so, too. And I mean, it's honestly, like, even if you go back into the ages, because, like, if you look at Leonardo da Vinci and Michelangelo, like those guys, like some of them, like what's the dude with the one ear, the painter, was it Picasso? No, he's not the one I'm thinking of. Anyways, like some of them literally went insane. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think people are like that today. And it doesn't help now that when you post your art, maybe if you're a furry, say, where you get a lot of hate online, that becomes tenfold.
I know, because you can develop a tough skin, but it still does get under there a little bit. Oh,
it
right?
does. It does.
So, I mean, this is interesting. It's not really something I ever thought about with mental health and creative people, but it's got to, I think there's got to be something to it. I'm sure there's stuff out there about
it. Oh, I agree 100%. And like even us, we've received hate online a lot for our episodes. We fumble a word or something and people hate on us immediately. It's so easy to be negative towards someone putting themselves out there. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to put yourself out there, let alone when you get this backlash. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's kind of what they're doing. They're trying to be creative. They're trying to do their art as a business. And I'm sure they're getting some online backlash, but they're certainly dealing with a lot of mental health issues along the way.
Yeah.
So regardless, though, they seem like they were here for each other. And through it all, they even had a dog to go along with it. And the dog's name was Castile. So Castile seemed to be on their social media feeds on a regular basis and seemed to keep them both in quite high spirits. There's posts often of them like going to the park with Castile, or just like they're vacuuming, for example, inside, and Castile's just sitting there just being a good boy in the corner, is like like not being afraid of the vacuum, and they're just like loving the fact that he's just such a good boy sort of thing.
Oh my gosh. Dogs just bring life to the world.
They do. So they're feeding off each other, but they also have Castile there in the corner. They're doing what they can to survive. And yeah. Still though, no matter how hard they tried, the struggles continue and it spilled into their business and of course other aspects of their life. Now, another post from Lockjaw Arts on February 8th, 2020 reads, quote, "Because rent is due in less than 24 hours and I need to raise a total of at least $200, I'm going to be accepting Valentine's Day sketches for $40, two characters, or $25 for one character." So, I mean, that just goes to show with 24 hours to go, they've got rent due and they're putting it out there to their clientele to see if they can do sketches or drawings to make up that money in the meantime.
Dang, they're hustling.
They're hustling. And I mean, this shows the struggle they're going through. And I'm sure it's a struggle that a lot of people can relate to, which is very sad. But I think it's just the reality of the world that we live in.
Yeah, it's really too bad, actually.
It is. So things became overwhelming for the two. And the later of their posts on their ex account. See, I didn't.
There you go.
There we go. Got it. were regarding apologies for being so far behind in their commission work that people had already paid them for. It seems like they were now at the point where they could no longer really stay afloat. They're behind on their commissions and they're behind on money.
Dang.
So they can't really go out and say like, hey, anyone else want commissions, when they have commissions to finish, right?
That's a tough spot. Because before I was like, well, that's nice. They have the opportunity to, say, raise the money, right, for the rent that they were lacking. But now, they got themselves in a tricky spot.
Well, if you look at that, like, okay, so Valentine's Day sketches, $40 for two characters or $25 for one character, okay? Mm-hmm. So say they raised the $200 they needed, $40. So that's 40, 80, 160 for four. You need five.
Yeah.
But that's for two characters. So that's 10 characters you're sketching. And say that's going to take you, say, 4 days to draw. But then say you also have regular work. Say you've got to do groceries or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that 4 or 5 days it's going to take you to draw might draw out of over the course of 2 weeks. And you already spent that $200 in your rent, and now you're 2 weeks behind on groceries. Now you need to make more money, but you're already now 2 weeks behind. Like, it just piles. Oh my gosh,
you just gave me anxiety there.
Well, that was kind of the point, because I think that's the sort of thing that they're going through. Mm-hmm. So they were at the part where they could no longer really stay afloat, which is when an idea came to them. In March of 2020, Jacob and Tanya decided to come up with a plan that would help them out of this financial hole. They created a post on Craigslist to lure a person for them to rob.
Okay.
Their solution was to steal in order to have in order to make ends meet.
Dang. I mean, gosh, there's got to be other solutions.
I'm sure there would be, for sure. But this, to them, was the solution. And I'm not sure what the ad said exactly. But I'm sure, because it was admitted to later on, but I'm sure it came with the promise of sexual favors and or fantasies or something of the like. Either way, they soon found themselves with their victim. They were the first person who responded to the couple. And this person was a man by the name of Hector Mendez Hernandez, who was 45 years old. So he talked to the two online and they made plans together. So on Friday, March 27th, Hector picked both James and Tanya up, and he drove them back to his place, located near the 2200 block of Colebrook Street. Hector led the couple into his place, and without hesitation, once he closed the door behind him, they immediately attacked Hector.
Oh my gosh. Okay. This is just, I don't know what the fuck's going to happen here.
Well,
this is an interesting story.
It's an interesting one. And as I already mentioned, there isn't a lot of information that's been published online about this one, right? So the next part is a bit gray on what happened. But what a lot of articles say online is that the attack occurred right away. And Jacob pulled out a gun on the now terrorized Hector.
Oh, shit.
It was initially started out as a robbery, and it turned into a fight for Hector's life as he was now being shot in his own home. And unfortunately, Hector was unable to defend himself enough from the firearm and was shot to death.
What the shit? That wasn't part of the plan, was it? Didn't seem like it was.
No. Okay. Yes, no. We'll get into it.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I do know Hector clearly tried to fight back because in the heat of the moment when shots were being fired off, Tanya also managed to get hit by a stray bullet, though her injuries were rather superficial. So the two, Tanya and Jacob, now stood over their deceased victim. And perhaps if they were careful enough to cover their tracks along the way, you know, even from here, look back at maybe their conversation, delete things or get rid of his cell phone or whatever, right?
I don't know.
It's hard to say, but perhaps maybe they would have gotten away with murder. However, of course, they just couldn't help themselves but to boast.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Oh, gosh.
So Tanya had begun messaging with a friend and told them that they had murdered someone.
What the shit?
She even went as far as to send them a photo of Hector's lifeless body, showing just how cold they were over their now recent actions. Tanya continued talking with a friend and told them how the two of them were now planning on stealing Hector's car or Ford F-150 truck and make a trip to California to dump his body. The one thing they didn't plan for, though, was their friend was about to turn on them.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure that there is very few people that I wouldn't turn on in that kind of situation.
I think that's probably a good thing. I know there's a lot of memes online about like, hey, you know, come help me hide a body and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like, in reality, like, I really hope that there's some intervention that would actually occur in that situation, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like that escalated so much because it has seemed like they just went there to rob him. Like, they could have tied him up or whatever. Didn't necessarily have to kill him. But then they did kill him. And you think that there'd be like an, oh, fuck moment. Like, what the hell did we do? Yeah. But then instead, they're just like bragging about this shit.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense at all.
No, I agree with you 100%.
So I kind of feel like they, you know, maybe intended to just kill him. This is sort of my thought.
We will get into that a little bit here. So don't you worry.
Okay.
So sometime after 11 a.m. that very same Friday, this individual who was texting with Tanya now called Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department and told them how their friend had just sent them a message about how she and her boyfriend had just killed a man.
Gosh, that is such a call.
I know,
to
right?
Get. Wow.
She also told police that they were planning on leaving soon and they were going to use his vehicle to hide his body somewhere in California. And finally, they were also able to provide the images of the deceased Hector that they were sent from Tanya.
Why the fuck were they driving to California with the body?
Well, that's where they planned on dumping him. But
Okay.
So police were understandably shocked and speechless at first. I mean, you just had a call like, hey, my friend texted me and showed me photos of a dead body. Like, what? Is this a prank call?
Yeah.
But no, it was serious. And so they quickly jumped into action and arrived at Hector's residence about 6 hours later after finally identifying who he was and figuring everything out. When they arrived, Jacob and Tanya were seen leaving Hector's place in his F-150. A traffic stop quickly occurred. They pulled the vehicle over and the two were apprehended. Now, while they were in custody, the investigation began and police entered the home and they quickly confirmed the truth. Hector lay dead in the bathroom, shot, stabbed, and beaten. Tanya and her boyfriend, Jacob, were charged with murder with a deadly weapon and conspiracy to commit murder and robbery with a deadly weapon and conspiracy to commit robbery. Tanya was also treated for her injuries to the wound that she sustained during the incident. So the couple quickly broke down and admitted to the murder. And they told police they came up with a plan to create a post on Craigslist in order to lure whoever would respond to the post. In this case, it was Hector. And from there, they decided they would rob, kill, and then steal the victim's vehicle to, quote, go live in the woods together, which is why they chose California, most likely, because, I mean, you're looking at Nevada and Las Vegas, there's not much for woods. So California, right? Now, I mean, outside of the rob and murder thing, I just want to say, fuck it and run away living in the middle of the woods is super relatable, but that doesn't mean you should go fucking kill someone to do it.
Yeah, there's other ways to maybe get there. Hey? Yeah,
I would hope so. Remember when I said what occurred during the attack was extremely gray, right?
Yeah.
So there is a bit more that I do know. So most articles I found online don't talk much about the attack itself. They say it just kind of happened like pretty much right away and he was shot and that's that. But I did find a little bit more. Apparently the attack did not occur instantly. Instead, after a while, Hector apparently tried to kiss Tanya, which upset both her and Jacob. The altercation broke out and apparently Hector punched Jacob. And as a result, Jacob admittedly pulled out a handgun that Tanya had bought from a pawn shop and he began to shoot Hector 4 times and, quote, at least twice in the head area. He also admitted to stabbing Hector at least 25 times in his torso.
Holy. Okay, so he pissed them off. And yes. This is how they went about dealing with that.
Yes. Even though they plan to do this anyway, though.
Yeah, but the whole stabbing 25 times thing, that's like usually a sort of a...
There was anger, a passion, aggression.
Kind of, yeah,
yeah.
Kill.
Well, that's not the end of it. Because at this point, Hector was actually still alive.
Oh, gosh.
They then proceeded to beat Hector with a black and red dumbbell set while Tanya held him down and Jacob used the weights to beat him with, which would ultimately be what claimed Hector's life.
Jeez, yes. So they just put him through hell.
Yes. So it was forced trauma to the head that killed Hector.
Wow.
Jacob also mentioned that Hector, quote, had touched Tanya's thigh, which was another reason for the initiation of the assault. Which, I mean, are you really fucking surprised of this?
Well, yeah, because what was the reason they were even there?
They solicited him for sex online.
Yeah, because that's what I thought. But yeah. Now with you saying these things, I'm just confused. No,
they posted on Craigslist. I don't know what the post said, but they admitted to luring someone with sex. So they lured Hector with sex from Craigslist, chatted online about it, hopped into his vehicle, went back to his place, and then he apparently touched her thigh and tried to kiss her. And
they're pissed.
And they're pissed.
Okay. That's why I was wondering if I like misheard or was
no, you didn't.
Weird in my brain of what they nope. were doing there.
So, and all of that, their plan was still to rob and kill him. So everything played out literally exactly as they wanted. And they're surprised and pissed off about it. Like, what the fuck?
Okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like they thought that through.
No, I don't think that. Well, I mean.
They did, but they didn't.
Yeah. I really don't know. It makes no sense to me. I cannot wrap my head around it.
Yeah.
Anyways, I couldn't find anything regarding convictions on either of these two. The latest article I found from them were in 2020. And my guess is that they have either A, already been charged and are currently serving their time without any updates from the story being published online, or B, COVID had an impact on their court date and they have still yet to appear in court.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. Now, with all of this being said and done, there is one more piece to the story that we need to go over. And I need to preface this, though, by saying there was nothing said of this in any official reports or articles I have read. There were a couple articles that referenced it and said things, but there was nothing official by authorities. Let me say that. But there was also a social media post that had a bit of this unconfirmed information that is what initiated some of these articles. This post is allegedly from a friend of the individual who called the police on Jacob and Tanya.
Okay.
So the one that was actually had the photo sent right. to them and everything, right? So that person had talked to another person, and this post is from them. So secondhand, yep. if that makes sense.
Okay,
so the person who called in, it was their friend who wrote this post, okay?
Okay.
But they are also, it's a little bit complicated because they're also quoting the person who called in the post.
That does make sense.
Okay, just making sure it makes sense because it's a bit scattered.
It is, but I feel like I get it.
Okay, so the post reads, there was a couple things I cut out because it was just useless shit that doesn't make any sense, but I got the majority of it here. The post reads, quote, "A good friend of mine is a sibling, not related by blood. He was like a brother to me type relationship of Vincent, who was the tip to the police. Vincent had confessed and even showed photos of his victim." Now, I want to preface this. Vincent is a pseudonym for Jacob. It's another name. They both got like some nicknames and stuff.
So oh, shit. Okay.
They're referring to Jacob.
Okay. I was Vincent. Already lost.
Okay.
Okay.
"According to my friend, Vincent had been hanging out with the body in the victim's house for about 10 hours by the time he called and expressed that he planned on, quote, putting the body in the refrigerator and stealing his car. He expressed that the opportunity came on a silver platter. He said he wasn't concerned about the police. He wasn't concerned about anything. His voice was like ice. He was happy that he did it. He told me this was his first and last. and that in prison he feels that he can hold up his own. He didn't care when he skinned his dog. He was mostly upset that he lost its pelt. So according to this Facebook post of the friend of the person who called, Jacob had killed their dog Castiel and skinned him to keep the pelt. Presumably, as far as many online theorize, to make a fur suit with.
Oh, God. Oh, what the shit.
Yeah.
Okay, so I feel like this person is kind of a psychopath.
I'm wondering. There's definitely something not right going on.
Well, and yeah.
I can't say that they haven't been found fit to stand trial because I haven't found anything about them standing trial, but I'm presuming they are fit to stand trial because they have been let go from a hospital because mm-hmm. that is documented on their Twitter or X feeds, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
So they have been found fit to be on their own. And I'm assuming stable or sane, however you want to put it. I'm not too sure, but that doesn't mean that, you can fucking A, kill a person, and B, kill and skin your dog.
Well, yeah.
And then be upset that you don't get to keep his pelt.
Well, and I'm thinking that this person sort of enjoyed both of those things. So if they got away with it, they would strike again.
Oh, like,
they 100%. Just would have that urge, right?
100%. If everything went according to their plan, if they managed to dump Hector's body somewhere in California and they went and lived out in the forest somewhere, what resources do you have? You're homeless now, right? You're homeless out in the forest. What resources do you have for food, clothing, medicine, whatever?
You'd get desperate again.
You're going to be stealing again. And most likely you're going to be running into someone. You're going to have to fucking kill them to try and get away with these things.
Mm-hmm.
So 100% they would have killed again.
Yeah.
So that is the story of the furry murder.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Huh.
Okay. I really, really do hope that they get convicted. I really, really do hope they get put away for quite some time because they certainly deserve it.
And you really got us at the end with the damn dog.
I know, the dog. The dog is actually how I found this case because I was initially looking into another furry murder.
Okay.
And I was just like, oh, that seems interesting. And I found the headline and then I searched furry murder and then this one came up and I was like, oh shit. And then, so I went into this, snowballed into this one.
And you knew what that was, hey, that meaning or
furry. Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, if you've been on Reddit at all, you probably know what furries are. if you've been to conventions, there's a lot of things. I'm on the internet a lot, memes, you name it. It's yeah. They get a lot of a bad rap. And I mean, not arguably for bad reasons, but I feel for them at the same time because, like, they're just living their lives, you know?
Mm-hmm. And then I feel like lots of times with things like that, though, there's just, you know, a few that kind of ruin the name or the reputation, right?
Yes, definitely.
Not saying I don't know anything about this, but I just have, I've seen that occur before.
Well, and all it takes is, like, to get a few people who are, like, socially awkward to, like, be in your group or community or whatever. And then people pick on those type of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I get it. It's a weird thing to like for a lot of people when they look at it from an outside perspective. Sure. But they're not hurting anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in this case, they're fucking hurting someone. They're just a piece of shit. Someone just who's, you know, putting on their fur suit and getting a little kinky. Hey, man, have at it. Do you. All the power to you. Right? As long as you're not hurting someone and everything's consensual.
Mm-hmm.
And hump your little furry brains out, like I said.
Oh my gosh, Ben.
People are humping their brains out whether they're in a fursuit or not. That's just how people are.
Good God. Okay. Oh, man.
Are you good?
Yeah, I'm great.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I just like don't even know what the fuck to say anymore. Anyway, that was an episode.
It was a different episode for sure. And I did really want to tell this story because it's one of those ones that, like I said, there's not a lot out there. It took me a lot to find the Facebook post because it has now since been deleted. So to actually find the quote of them talking about that. Luckily enough, I found, I hope I didn't lose the person. Oh, I might have. Anyways, I'm going to have to go back and find it. But I found someone on YouTube who actually talked about this briefly on their YouTube channel, like about a month after it occurred. And they had a screenshot of that Facebook post.
Oh, gosh.
And I went back into that user's Facebook history, who has actually since changed their Facebook name. So it took a bit of tracking down to find them. And I went back to that fucking date and the post is gone.
You were being an internet sleuth.
Oh, you bet I was. So my only source that I could actually find of this post, because every article I found was just like talking about it or taking a little quote here and there from it. The only post I could actually find of it was this dude's YouTube video that had a screenshot.
Okay, and we need, like, poor, what was his name? Hernandez? That's how, what
Hector.
Is it? Hector. Holy shit. Who the fuck is Hernandez?
Well, that was part of his last name.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, his full name, I got to scroll up to find it.
But anyway, I feel bad for him.
Oh, so do I.
This is why you just don't trust anybody. Like, especially, like, you just don't.
Yeah.
Especially people on the internet. Holy shit.
Hector Mendez Hernandez.
Okay. So I was just going by his last name.
Yeah, there you go.
There. Hector.
Yeah. No, I feel bad for him. Because, I mean, honestly, I don't know his situation. But he's looking to have a good time. He's just, maybe he's looking for love, or I don't know. Maybe he's just looking to just get off for one evening. Hey, I'm not judging.
But he took a chance. Really didn't go well for him.
Yeah. He just trusted the wrong people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's.
Yeah. Sucks. No, he went, he picked them up. He brought them home. And, you know, as far as he knows, they had a consensual thing going on. And clearly there was something else they had in mind. They took advantage of them, which is the worst.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. Hopefully you enjoyed the story. Hopefully you guys just go give your dog a hug right now, because no dog, no person, no one deserves anything like this. And yeah.
I know. Okay. I feel like often after our episodes, my brain is just going like wild, but this one. I don't know. I feel different after this one for some reason, and I'm not sure why. I think it's just like I'm processing, because it was a lot of new things for me.
Well, you didn't even know what a furry was.
I thought it was like a Furby.
A Furby.
Like, is it like a Furby?
No. I'm going to do a quick Google search here just to bring up something. Actually, I'm not going to show it right away, just in case some kinky stuff comes up.
Oh, shit.
I'm just going to Google furry suits. Okay, there we go. So no kinky stuff has come up. So I'm going to bring this Google image over so we can see up on the video.
Okay, yeah. I feel like I've definitely seen
some of these costumes are like insanely, like that's quality shit.
And some people are just like cosplaying these because they think they're cool.
Oh, definitely.
Right? For sure.
100%. There's just another part of that community. Like there is there's niche parts of any community, right? And there's a part of this community that does this for a very sexual reason. Others just, hey, this
look, is you just can get cool. One off AliExpress.
You probably can. I can't imagine it would be the best quality.
I saw the ad there.
Where?
I don't know. This one. No, go down. That one right there.
Okay. AliExpress doesn't have the highest reputation for quality, though, does it?
I don't think so.
No. But if you're going to do like real quality, that's when you want to get like handmade from a custom commission. Like these individuals were doing, but
they suck.
Well, they do suck, but some of the suits they built were pretty intense. I'm going to see if I can find one. And I do want to clarify this, just because they built these suits, like they did a custom order for a person, right? Mm-hmm. So these are not like, there's nothing wrong with the suits. I just want to clarify that. No negative connotation should be taken from these suits, because it's, hey, a person bought this
suit.
That's
true. I mean, yeah, no one's going to know.
Yeah, at the time it was a reputable maker, right?
Mm-hmm. But the makers still suck.
Well, yeah, after the fact. No,
big time.
Well,
I like how you're just like going down a Google hole right now, live.
Sorry. It's just, we're doing it. Here we go. So here you can see in like this one, this is, very much so showing that sexualization.
Mm-hmm. You don't fucking say.
See, and,
it has boobs.
It has boobs and a very voluptuous behind.
Uh-huh. Huh.
But I mean, hey, I mean, do that. All the power to you. Just as long as you're not fucking hurting Hector.
Yeah, poor Hector.
Yeah, I know. I feel.
And the dog. What was the dog's name?
Castiel.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah.
Anyways, we ranted at the end of this one a little bit. If you guys are still here, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. If you want to check out any of our links down below, we have Instagram, we have X, which we are not very active on, YouTube, which we have two different accounts. We have Patreon, where you can get exclusive behind the scenes, which Nicole is putting out an episode today.
Mm-hmm.
All that good stuff. It's down below. Yeah, we appreciate you.
I don't even think I realized that X was Twitter.
No.
To be honest, I thought it was like an Instagram thing.
No, it's well,
oh boy.
Because what's his name bought out Twitter a few years ago or whatever.
Who? The Facebook guy?
No, not the Facebook guy. The dude who, the boring company dude, he's the owner of Tesla. I can picture his face, but I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
Right. Okay. I knew that.
Yeah.
Knew
anyways, he bought it out and yeah, now it's
like X.
And it's like an X-rated site now. There's, yeah, you can see things on there.
Wow.
Yeah. People advertise their only of fans sites on there.
Okay. Okay. Well, until next week, my
until
friends.
Next week, we've digressed a lot. Until next week.
Stay wicked.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.